And are we stopping at 8 minutes and 43 minutes?
Welcome to the Dash Radio Show with your hosts, Don Wright DeBrons and Peter Mingles.
Thanks for tuning in. To follow our every move, here's what to do. First, click follow at the top of our show. Then, hop on over and subscribe to our blog at www.thedashradioshow.com. Text DASH to 37404 for our upcoming mobile experience. And like us on facebook.com/thedashradio. Thanks, and enjoy the show. And hello and welcome to the Dash Back Talk. This is Don Wright DeBrons, and we're doing it a little differently today because, as you guys know, we are creating this show from the very beginning all the way. I know I hear a little bit of feedback on the line. Guys, can you introduce yourself?
Alex is here. John's here. Jeff is here.
Aaron's here.
Andy's here.
And we can go ahead and just move forward. It's a little bit different because we're trying this, all of us in the same room in the studio, because, you know, we all have a lot of conversations that go on every single day here at the Dash. We're creating this as a team of people who absolutely love entrepreneurism. We believe in the entrepreneurial spirit, and we want to give a voice to entrepreneurs worldwide. We want to give a voice and a platform to the companies, to the people who fight for our rights every day, like Attorney Jim Turner and some of the cool senators we know. And we want to give, a place for all of the companies and entrepreneurs to come so that they can create, as a collective, a place for people who love entrepreneurism, who want the tools and the understanding and wisdom of the experts, and that want to go ahead and master the trade, that they can come and they can not only share in their wisdom, but go ahead and give their opinions. And so the Dash Back Talk is all about the opinions of the team who are every single day looking on the web and searching and finding cool stuff for articles, for topics, for everything that you guys might need, and sometimes just for fun. So, Alex, why don't you go ahead, or are we going to have Aaron kick it off? I think Aaron is kicking it off. Alex, tell them a little bit about this topic and why you decided that we needed to do this.
Peter's saying that he has no sound.
Peter's saying we have no sound.
We're good.
We have sound.
We do have sound.
Yes.
We have sound.
Okay, good. Well, one of the first things that we wanted to cover today, whatever time of the day it is for you, Aaron put together a top 10 list of Facebook pages that every entrepreneur should follow. If Aaron wants to take it away from here and give us what he learned about these pages, and we're going to post where you actually can find these pages on our blog, the Dash Radio.
No, stop. We're good.
Andy hears everything.
Okay. Andy hears everything. I'm going to stay out here, you guys. You guys go ahead and go from there.
Okay.
All right, we'll get started with the top 10. Number 10 is Entrepreneurship with Anthony Delmedico, and he was really cool content. He had lots of cool stuff posted on his page. He seems like a real down-home, real-life person, you know, and when you look at a lot of these pages, some of them are magazine pages, some of them are groups, and he's a real guy with his real page, and he's an entrepreneurial expert, and I really like his page, especially the post that had his messy desk, and, you know, he posted that if you know you're a real entrepreneur when it's 12 o'clock midnight on the weekend and you're still sitting at your desk with paper scattered all over it and pens and notes and whatnot everywhere.
I have stuff all over my desk.
And I do, too. And people comment regularly. This is Alex. People comment regularly as to what my desk looks like and that it should be maintained a certain way. What people don't realize is what comes from that desk on a daily basis. And even though it is a completely tattered mess, there's all my notes, all my to-dos, all my everything's there, you know, and I know how to get through it.
All right. Number 9 is Entrepreneurs and Professionals Network. They're kind of geared more towards celebrity entrepreneurism and the flashy side of entrepreneurism. So if that's kind of your cup of tea and what you like to follow, they follow a lot of entrepreneurs, dream homes and stuff like that, but they still pump out a lot of good content and posts.
What kind of content do you find on it? Besides just pictures of people's homes.
Well, there was a good one on Kim Kardashian and how she gets a lot of bad publicity in the media and everything, but she actually just won a big award for Entrepreneur of the Year of 2012 for a big women's entrepreneur group.
That's really interesting for me because I don't really hear anything about the Kardashians unless it's something in a tabloid, and it's just definitely negative most of the time. And then the other day, Denise Michaels, who was on the show, was talking about how only authors with national platforms are the types of people that get published by the traditional book publishers. And one of those people that she said was Kim Kardashian. So even though she's not always portrayed in the brightest light, she does have a very strong reach and clearly a national platform that a book publisher thought was worthy of putting her book in print.
Right. And I think Kim Kardashian's worked really hard for where she's gotten. I think she's got, you know, like, you've got the, you know, like you said before, the rich daddy. You've got a lot of advantages to being a Kardashian. But, you know, there's a lot of darts being thrown at the Kardashians, and they don't get as much kudos as I personally think they deserve, you know. I mean, granted, you know, we've all talked about it, you know, what would we be if we were a reality show? And, you know, like a lot of times the kind of stuff that we're doing, creating entrepreneurial projects, the stuff that we run into, the heartache, the stress, the, you know, everything. I mean, you go through an awful lot. And I think that anybody, if they live under a fishbowl, you know, or in a fishbowl and have people, you know, the whole world like staring in at them, poking at them, they're going to deal with a lot of the same kind of stuff the Kardashians do. None of us would be perfect, you know. I would never want my life to be a reality show because I live in the woods and I like nature and, you know, I don't even like people stopping by without an invitation. You know, so I think that, you know, it takes a lot to be a Kardashian. What do you guys think?
I think what's helped them a lot is like you said, that's the old money.
Mm-hmm.
It's helped them on their push and then their reality show. Didn't they come out with a reality show years ago?
They still have it. It's called The Kardashians.
Yeah.
Original.
I've watched
very
it.
Very subtle.
It had me. I was in a hotel. I didn't know going to watch all the stuff. I'm sucked in at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was pretty fascinating stuff. All right. Enough of the Kardashians. Moving on.
Number 8 on the list is a page called Entrepreneurs, and it's really a basic entrepreneurial page. And my opinion on it was if you're an old school entrepreneur, then you'll probably like the page. But so many of the other pages on my top 10 like them that I had to put them in the top 10. So they have good content. It's pretty normal, regular business content, entrepreneurial content that you'd see, but it was still good. I liked the articles.
All right.
And then moving on to number 7. Number 7 is really cool. It's called Renegade Entrepreneur, and their website's renegadeentrepreneurgroup.com. And they seem their like main focus is helping people who are aspiring to be entrepreneurs and be successful entrepreneurs. And I just really like their mindset. They're kind of like a younger, but not my generation young, like maybe in between me and my dad's generation.
This is radio. They don't know how old you are.
Okay, so I'm 24, so between 20s and 40s. They rank right, like, kind of smack dab in the middle, but they're like
30.
Yeah, their content is good.
Sorry, Aaron.
No worries. Sorry, guys. 30-year-olds will love that page.
30-year-old entrepreneurs will have a great time with that page.
It's my opinion that someone slightly older or younger might also.
All right.
Number 7 is Incorporated Magazine. And what's weird about Incorporated Magazine's page being on the list was I randomly ran into their...
It's 7.
It's number
6.
It's number 6. It is number 6. I randomly ran into their website like twice this week and didn't even realize until I was making this list that it was all the same people. But their slogan is everything you need to know to start and grow your business. So if you're, you know, interested in startup businesses or you're interested in starting up a business, then that's a great place to go and follow. Number five is Fast Company magazine, and they're really like globally focused. So if you're an entrepreneur who's interested in global business or anything like that, anything international.
And you said Fast Company, right?
Fast Company, yeah.
Right. They also have the magazine that you can get. Dawn frequently buys Fast Company when she's in the airports.
Absolutely. I've loved Fast Company as a magazine for probably 15 years. I think they've been around that long. It's as long as I've been an entrepreneur, it's been the one thing I reached for. They've got some real trendy stuff. They've got a lot of really good ideas. I've been reading Success Magazine a lot lately, too. Somebody got it for whatever reason. Must have been a magazine drive for the kids or something, but we ended up with a bunch of magazines coming here. I seriously don't know how it happened, but I'm grateful. And so I've been looking through all the fun business stuff, and every single time Fast Company has me. You know, even with all the other ones, there's like four or five magazines coming in, and Entrepreneur's one of them, Success is one of them, but Fast Company always has the most fun. I think they just tend to be a little more cutting edge than the rest.
All right. What's number three?
Number three is Success Magazine, and they were just up there with all of the
Success Magazine, right?
Round number four.
Yeah, Young Entrepreneur.
He asked me for number three.
I asked for number three.
Young Entrepreneur. I started following Young Entrepreneur. Everything's geared towards the younger generation. It was a really cool page.
What age bracket would you say?
Definitely mine, 20-year-old people.
Under 30.
Under 30.
Under
30. Got over 30, under 30.
Around
30. Over 50.
Yeah,
they're not ranked by age.
See if I actually like them, because I'm not really understanding the whole age thing in business. But we'll have to see.
There's
a lot of them. I like that one in Boss.
Right. And there's methods that you like versus methods that someone from a newer generation doesn't like.
I love spreadsheets.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with my age.
No.
It has nothing to do with my age. I'm allergic to spreadsheets because I'm just not a linear thinker. And bevel and emboss was the thing that I did when I first learned how to do web design, and I beveled and embossed everything. Then 20 years later, I learned there were other things. But that's not an age thing, you know. Some of it comes with time in. But we'll see. I'm gonna go read all of these. It's not for me because I'm an old bag thing. I'm going to see if I agree or disagree, and I'll come back and give you some back talk on it.
All right.
And right after this break, we're going to do the top three.
Do you run a home-based business? Are you looking under every rock for your next superstar diamond in the rough? Are you looking for leads in all the wrong places? Look no more.
If you're a seasoned entrepreneur, you know you need the right tools in place to run your online business effectively.
If you're brand new at your business and you are looking for top-notch training that will take you and your sales team to the next level,
for email marketing, autoresponders, lead management systems, and more, Network Leads is what you need to prospect, communicate, manage, and support your customers and sales organization.
Just go to networkleads.com/the-radio and register for your free lead management system today. You've been listening to The Dash Radio Show with hosts Don Wright DeBrons and Peter Mingles.
Thanks for tuning in. To follow our every move, here's what to do. First, click follow at the top of our show. Then, hop on over and subscribe to our blog at www.the-radioshow.com. Text DASH to 37404 for our upcoming mobile experience. And like us on facebook.com/the-radio. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Back Talk with the DASH crew. And for some reason, I'm the only one who has any kind of feedback coming into my line. I cannot figure out what I haven't done right over here, but something is doing it. So I'm going to let you guys go ahead and have it. Aaron has his top three.
All right. Success Magazine is number three. And, I mean, if you look at Success Magazine's page, you can't argue with all the content. And it was the one who had the most people from my friends list actually follow this page. So it seemed like a good choice.
Okay. Yeah, Success Magazine. Dawn was actually just talking about them, and it was showing up. We got a couple issues in the mail. They cover direct sales companies. They cover small businesses. They cover home businesses. They do a variety of things. I like what they do. They're not like Fast Company, but they have their own way of doing it.
Right. Cool. All right. Number two is the Harvard Business Review. And I think the Harvard Business Review, yeah, it does. It has the biggest following out of anyone on the list. And, me and you were talking about it earlier. You can't really have a list like this without having that one in there.
Right.
It's kind of like just a great place to stay on the up and up on business.
And are you saying, like, you really dig each of their sites or specifically their fan pages?
Specifically their Facebook page. Because, like, I don't have the time to follow every entrepreneurial website, but I can see their posts, I can see their articles on Facebook, and I'm on that every day.
So, like, you're really kind of using it for notifications. You see a pop-up. If it's something that really turns you on, you go ahead and you check it out. So that's awesome. For people who are super busy, this is like the ADD lover's way of being able to go ahead and follow good subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
All right. And number one is Entrepreneur Magazine. Their page is full of awesome stuff. And looking at all 10 of them over and over and over again, this was the one that I kept coming back to and, like, looking through all their content, looking through their articles, and just enjoyed being on the page.
Awesome. And what would you say is the recurring theme with all 10 of those pages? What's the thing that's in common that's consistent amongst all of those pages that you like?
All the pages are focused on, like, inspiring people and personal self-betterment and stuff like that. That's the recurring theme through all of them. Like, every page has a post that says, it talks about, you know, bettering yourself or inspiring others or inspiring yourself. I saw that on every page.
Okay. Cool.
Thanks, Aaron.
No problem.
Cool. Well, and I think we should all check it out this week. And any of our listeners, if you want to go ahead and give some input and feedback, if you guys think that he totally missed something that you guys know about that the rest of the world needs to know about, make sure you put a comment on Backtalk for the Week on the blog, which you'll find at www.the-radio.com. I'm right now, while we're having this, while recording the episode, I'm creating the post. So by the time it's over, within 10 minutes, it should be up and live. Make sure that you give us, you know, if you guys find a Facebook page that's just really rocking your world, it's really giving you tips and tricks that are helping you out that we haven't seen, make sure you tell us so we can get it up here and Aaron will check it out and we'll keep a rolling and active top 10 list.
Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron.
No problem.
All right. What's up, Alex?
Well, last week we were talking about 3D printing and we were talking about the ability to eventually be able to print organs. And this week there was an article, and a guy was able to print the molding of an ear, and then he injected that molding with living cow cells, and over a course of 3 months, cartilage began to grow, and all of a sudden they had an ear, and
crazy.
Yeah,
that is crazy, man. Right.
Definitely.
It's really cool.
That's just the point, man. It's a printer.
Right.
How do you file that? Well, in the organ section. I mean, how big
your
file could
be to
start stacking 3D files?
If you're printing organs, you're probably attaching them to somebody. I don't think they'd be filed anywhere.
That's a refrigerated drawer for them.
They're
going to
go back up in the cabinet.
Yeah.
Well,
they'll probably, like, blow them up or something.
Mason
jars.
It's piss poor planning. If you run out of ink in the middle of the project.
Printer cartridges, like extra ears in it. I'm just,
These are questions that are going through my head.
It's because you were a printer.
How do you calibrate this?
This is a really good point. Jeff, you were a printer for 20 years. Like, what about the 3D printing world? I mean, this is revolutionizing the industry in a big way.
People are still going to want printed magazines. They're not going to want it printed here.
Not everybody. There's not a big demand for here.
Stem cell. That's part of the stem cell research they're doing.
Yeah, and if you lost your ear and somebody said, I can print you a new one.
You want to hear by some doctor or do you want to hear by HP?
Well, I mean, you can afford it.
I want to hear that new,
plastic surgeon said, you know, right now it's made with cow cells. Most likely a human would reject it because it's completely foreign. So they're working on getting it to have the ear grow using human cartilage.
Wait, can they hear and they listen to cows?
Yes. It's supposed to actually help your hearing, and
said it functions just like
a normal ear.
See, that's
well, wait a minute.
And then in
an
ear
is just a flap of skin.
It's cartilage.
That's the point. It's just the matter that they're going ahead and they're creating that curvature. So just like a wrench, just like anything, you know, it's just what they're creating it out of. They're not creating the inner workings of like the.
It's for people that have inside intact, but the outside.
Yeah.
Like you get your ear blown off.
Yeah.
Like burned off. You lose it in a fire.
So
some cancer it can actually eat away this, and so you can
stress,
right?
That poopy beta strip, that flesh eating strip thing or whatever.
In like four, there's a rare disease, but it's not. It's like 4 in 10,000 babies are born with it, where the inside of their ear grows, but the outside of the ear doesn't develop.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can implant this external part, and all of a sudden you've got a normal ear.
Yeah,
and they can even make a clone of your ear on the other side. They can make a copy of your ear on the other side, so it's not like
exactly
it's not like you're wearing John's ear or I'm wearing Don's ear on
it.
So, I mean, you know, I've been really pushing telling Alex needs to get one of these printers because I think that there's so much. Here's the thing. I mean, in the world of entrepreneurism, you know, we're a group of people who are looking at what's awesome for entrepreneurs, and I can't think of a thing that has come out. I mean, I was saying, and I'm going to do my little Apple pitch next, but, I mean, the 3D printer, I mean, it revolutionized entrepreneurism. There have been people who wanted to do prototypes for years. You can't do a prototype unless you have a lot of money, but you can't tell anybody about this great new invention you've got without having a prototype that then you can go patent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, just brought everything into the hands of everybody, just like, you know, YouTube brought the ability to be a musician or, you know, be a videographer or be a filmmaker to the hands of people who all couldn't afford to go to school or go and, you know, make their shot out there. And now everybody's got a shot. And now 3D printing is giving people, like, everybody a shot. So I just think it's awesome. But, you know, I think that, you know, and of course, the minute it gets out here, we're printing ears, you know, welcome to America. Or who did it? Was this an American scientist creating this? American doctor? What country's working on this?
I believe so. I believe it was an American doc. It was an American plastic surgeon that said in 2015, if everything goes according to plan, you can have ear implants. And
it was developed at Cornell University.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, Americans really are the ones that are putting a ton of time and energy into 3D printing and paving a lot of ways in terms of 3D printing and what can be done.
Right.
You know, it's like, it really is. You're only limited by your own imagination.
Metal 3D printers, so you could literally build anything you want out of metal.
Yeah, that can
build
the model staging.
Yeah,
they
model
to you.
Yeah,
working.
You just build
and they just found it, and they actually grew it on the back of a mouse.
They grew it. Well, this is like, you know, there it is, right? This one here is growing on the back of a mouse.
I think that's Photoshop.
They did. It looks like it has chicken skin. No, it's the skin.
They're just working on different ways that they can make it work.
You're really good.
That poor little mouse.
That
mouse
right
can hear. Can hear like a champ.
But if they have a monkey on your back, try having an ear.
All right, what's up next? The Google Glass. That's what's up next. Now, and Andy's got to come back in here for this one because he has some opinions on this. And when he gets back, we'll definitely make sure we bring it back around. But, you know, I mean, I think it's pretty awesome. Alex, since you're the one who brought this to the party, why don't you talk a little bit about what Google Glass is?
Google Glass is essentially it's like a fake pair of glasses that you wear. It's got the frame of
glasses.
It's got the frame, but there's just like this tiny little piece of glass that comes out and drops down, and it's basically the way Google's advertising it. You can make phone calls, take pictures, take video, check social networks, get updates from people, share
weather,
turn by turn navigation. So you could be walking down the street and you could have like a little heads up display that's giving you turn by turn navigation as you're walking down the road.
Or snowboarding too. There's video or in the video they're showing them snowboarding and showing them the trail.
Right. And they have, and just most recently, Google's starting a campaign. You can post on Twitter, hashtag, if I had glass, and then in 50 characters or less, tell Google what you would do if you had Google Glass. And if they accept you, you have to spend $1,500 and you'll get an Explorer edition of Google Glass. And you can start using the product. And just prior to that, they had a developers conference where they had all the developers spend $1,500 to get their set of Google Glass and start developing for Google Glass. It's just like, it's cool. It's the first camera I've seen that really truly provides a first person perspective of anything that you're doing. And the marketing, I think that's like really what's got me the most excited about it, is that I'm seeing so many other people excited about it, and then I'm looking and I see it pop up, and you know, there was a lot of noise when Google Glass was being first talked about it, and Google like released images in stages on a daily basis to kind of build the hub and slowly reveal what they were talking about. Like they started with a really vague video, and then they got a little bit more specific and a little bit more specific and a little bit more specific. And it's kind of just been, and now with the release to the developers and with this competition with the If I Had Glass, it's a lot, to me, it's building the exclusivity. You're cool if you have it. You're only part of the select few. And Google does this with a lot of their products. They release it and they build the exclusivity and they build the coolness and they get a lot of people talking about their products. And then it's up in the air whether or not that product is successful. And that's the big thing with Google, is that they can have like a really big month, and then all that buzz, all that hype led to like everybody subscribing in that first month and then nobody after that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there can be a lot of buzz and a lot of this built and created about it, and then all of a sudden that product dies the next month later. It's like you can get people there, but can you get those people to actually share what you did is the next part of the whole thing, and that depends on whether or not you've got a good product.
You know, I agree, and when we were some of the first adopters with Google Plus, and we did that because, you know, Facebook had their thing with the powers that be. Oh, My Web of Trust. And a project we were working on, My Web of Trust decided they didn't like something. And so, and there was no democratic system. It was a meritocratic system. And when you try to find out what gave it merit, what gave someone more merit, it was just that they sat on the site a lot. So people who sit on their site and rate other people's sites, you know, they have more merit than other people. But the people who don't have time to sit on their site or people who are out building other projects, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it really makes it difficult to create merit for yourself if you are busy creating, if you're an entrepreneur, you know. You don't have time to sit around rating other entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your game. And so we went and we made a push for Google Plus, but Facebook is Facebook, man. You know, you can't replace Facebook with Google Plus. It's not the same thing. It doesn't matter. It's a little bit fun. It's cool. It's got a little something, but, you know, and we found that big push and then fizzle.
Right.
And
different people are on Google Plus.
Right.
And there's talk about it. You know, I think that Google Plus stands a chance of being an actual competitor with Facebook in the long term, because Google owns so many properties. They own YouTube. And when you create your YouTube channel, they're pushing you right into Google Plus to create your Google Plus account page. If you create a Gmail account, you're already three quarters of the way there with a Google Plus account. If you use any one of Google's properties, they've got a way to get you into Google Plus. Where Facebook is just Facebook and everybody has to come to Facebook, you can be on any one of Google's properties, YouTube, Google Drive, Gmail, Google Maps, Google Businesses, Google Places, Google Listings, Google. I mean, it's like there's an endless amount of services that they provide that they can all tie into this umbrella and get you to come in and use their stuff. And then the other part, you have a lot of marketers and a lot of SEO people using Google Plus, because Google owns Google.com, and they're going to honor their social metrics more than they're going to honor Facebook's social metrics, because they don't have all of Facebook's data, whereas Google can say, you know, this thing's been plus one 72 times, and this thing's been plus one 62 times, and this thing's been plus one 3,000 times, and it will develop its own ranking system within Google search. So they're always going to force SEOers and marketers to their social network, because they understand that if you want your stuff to rank in Google, you need to be on Google Plus.
Hey, I thought we were talking about Google Goggles.
Google Goggles, yes.
I mean, when do they plan on coming out with these Google Goggles?
They're saying that it's probably going to be released by the end of the year.
End of the year?
Yeah, and they're working with a designer.
It's like a six-pack of beer. You put them in the beer goggles?
That's like challenge mode.
That's how you don't lose your keys. You can just go back and...
Yeah, you ask your Google goggles. Hey, where's my key?
That brings up a good point. That brings up a good point. I mean, John, what do you think's cool about Google Glass? Why would you use them? What would you use them for?
I mean,
or the only reason...
Kind of like GoPro on steroids. Like, think about people who use GoPros and stuff to record their extreme sports and stuff. I mean, like let's say me and you, we do, like, we archer. We're like a couple archers. So if we're out doing our bow and arrows and stuff, oh, I'm just saying, shooting arrows. You can record it and you can watch it. You know, you could, like, see what you're doing wrong, or see when you, you know, just critique yourself, or when you're four-wheeling, you know, running down
golfing.
The trail. Golfing. I mean, it's
living your dash, perhaps?
Living your dash.
Living your dash, yeah.
I mean, I personally think it's cool. I don't like the stuff that's going on inside that I would have to be looking at, because I would be very distracted by that.
Right, I don't understand how that would be, if that would work.
Yeah, I mean, that would distract me.
Well,
but
it's
I
not
like
the Corvette has Tom would.
Yeah, but the Corvettes the new Corvettes, they have a little red laser beam that shoots up onto the windshield and does the same thing as Google Glass,
mm-hmm.
except for it's right here and your eye hardly even has to move.
Yeah,
right,
I just know that when I have a little tag or I have something on a pair of sunglasses, I have gotten rid of those glasses. I don't see past it. I don't see past the scratch. It
right.
distracts me.
Well,
but you have to think, it's not a normal pair of glasses. The way it's shaped, the glass comes across the top half of your eyes. And so
they put it
where it's up and away, and then to look at what's directly in front of you, you can't look at it. Like, you have to look to the little thing.
Like, if you were to lower glasses on your nose, you can look over your glasses
sure.
and look down and see what's happening before.
I think
Google Glass is up here. And
it basically cuts halfway through.
And it's like, it's in the top part of your eye, so it's not exact. You can glance up and check it, but then you're still, your vision's here.
Right.
It's up here. So it's just like if I was driving and I glanced at the navigation system in my car and then looked back at the road. You know.
So it might be easier than the tag on the glasses, but you probably still have to try it.
The only difference is when I'm driving, I actually have to look away from the road to look at my navigation system versus having it right here and still have one eye looking at what's going on in front of me.
Well, I mean, you know, for specific purposing, I think it could be super cool. You know, like, we just did a video. We're working on doing a bunch of different videos. We're all about, you know, the entrepreneuristic side of this. So if you think of purposing for this, to be able to go ahead and create videos that are how-tos on how you are doing something. Fly fishing, tying flies, somebody just said, you know, like actually, like when you're doing it and you're looking at it and it's like nodding, we've knotted jewelry, we want to teach people how to do that, we want to teach people how to do something that only you are doing, it would be an amazing thing to have it from the perspective of as you're looking at it, you're filming it.
Right.
So that's a super cool use.
Or if it's taking in data based on what you're looking at. So, like, let's say, I mean, this is a really cool idea. I don't know if it's possible, but let's say I'm looking under the hood of the car. It starts going, whatever I'm looking at, that's the air intake, that's the this, that's this line, that's that line, that's this line.
Telling me what my
engine
is.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it'll change the way movies are made. Because think about Hollywood movies, because they could do, as soon as producers and directors get their hands on it, they're going to go nuts. Because, I mean, think about it, like, you know, all those per POV movies, like,
Blair Witch.
Like Blair Witch, or there's one in Doom where he's running through it, and it's like first person view, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People will just be able to put on the glasses, and you'll actually be in the eyes of that actor doing that scene, and it'll look a lot more real.
That's pretty cool. That's a good point.
Right.
And then think about it, if they paint the little part on the side of it, the green screen green, then every actor in the scene has on Google Glass, and then
yeah.
You have every different view from and including the one that you're taping with
mm-hmm.
your camera.
They're not going to show a movie with a bunch of guys wearing all the
same. There's only one part.
This is a room of gamers. Can you tell they're all gamers?
CGI that right out with a green screen color.
Yeah.
So they won't. None of them will even look like they have glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll be able to get everyone's view recorded.
I think we don't really actually understand the possibilities of this until it comes out and until all these.
Well, if it's something like giving me data and stuff as I'm going, you know, like my iPhone or something.
That's what
it
is.
That'll be like a total hands-free thing. There'll be a lot of that.
That's what it is. It's everything.
Yeah, like if I could, without having to open up my phone and scan a barcode on something, I could just be looking at it, and then boom, all of a sudden it's telling me that Amazon's selling it for this, or...
Why don't we just
put
Jarvis in an Iron Man suit?
I think it'll multiply unboxing videos.
Unboxing
videos?
Yeah.
Everybody will be like, oh, I
also think that a lot of people are going to find out how boring their lives are.
A lot of people like through everyone else's Google Glasses.
I think it's like, dude, you didn't leave your desk all day, man.
For the people, like, we know some people who don't like to leave their desks, period.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they will live vicariously through other people that way. So, I mean... You know, I know some programmers that just refused to leave their desk. They didn't for 20 years, you know. And I do know two, actually, that have popped into my mind. And one of them told me when Alex and I were traveling all over the world a few years back that they were living and traveling vicariously through us, you know, to keep the pictures coming because it was like they got to go on a trip with us because we took so many pictures. So, I mean, backpacking Africa, we wore the glasses while we were trekking through the Himalayas.
Endless amounts
know.
Of stuff.
Yeah, we would have.
I mean, it brings a whole new reality to the POV camera angle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's just like a camera right here, and it's still kind of like, you know.
Yeah, you don't get your
actual
view.
Right.
Travel photography, travel videography.
Then
right.
sees exactly what you see. That's what's cool.
Yeah.
Just hope they don't wear them into the
And how you see it. Not how like a certain angle of the camera you got to get to see something.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, what's the answer to this question on this test? Let me Google this really quick.
I do have to wear these, teacher. I'm like, with this spelling bee.
You know, and that's true. I mean, once you have these, you know, there's, you know, I remember I was sitting there years ago. I was at a bar. Friends of mine all had bikes, motorcycles. They all rode in beautiful day in Connecticut. And I was sitting down with an old school biker. And his name was Richie, you know, his ZZ Top, you know, gray hair down to, you know, his belly and gray hair down to the middle of his back. And I had an internet phone. And it wasn't an iPhone. This was way, way years ago. But I was able to go ahead and Google the answer. And he said, who said give me liberty or give me death? And whoever the first person is that they can answer that question, you know, I'm going to buy him a beer. And so I, you know, Googled. It was Stark, the General Stark or something like this. And I said it. And he's like, that's right. And he went to buy me a beer. And, of course, I couldn't possibly take a beer off the guy because I just Googled it. But I thought about it, you know, if you give everybody access to instantaneous information, right, like literally at their eyes,
right.
you know, that, I mean, there's something to be said for it. I still remember the answer to that question. Just because I Googled it doesn't mean that I didn't quickly access the information and get the answer, and here I am telling you about it 10 years later. So, you know, I think that it really, we become so much more because we have such incredible access to information instantly that if we're looking at something and we can say, you know, like Siri, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all of a sudden, and it tells you what it is. I mean, that would be pretty epic.
That is epic.
Mm-hmm. That would be pretty epic.
Mm-hmm. It would definitely, I mean, I can see in a lot of job sectors how it could increase productivity. It could give you information. It doesn't force you also to retain as much. Like, as long as you know that something does something, or that something does this, or that something does that, you don't need to retain every little detail about it, especially if something is constantly telling you in real time what you're looking at, what you're working on.
Sure.
You know, I don't think you should have put that red wire there based on all these other, you know, installations that should be going here.
Well, speaking of red wire, it could also, like in the law, in the, like, the, what is it? I can't think of the word. Like, in law, like, for, like, people like bomb squads and stuff like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
having the technician who's only on the phone.
Oh, yeah,
they'll be able to see what the guy's working with and be able to tell them what to do and actually which wire to cut. The, well, I don't know. It's
really dark in here. In the
red light shining on
them.
All the
time.
I think the guy that puts the suit on that walks to the bomb actually knows what he does. I don't know. I don't think you call out to somebody.
But like, hey,
the red
wire
or the blue
Joe's
with a pair of Google glasses.
They don't just
like
average Joe's with Google glasses.
Tackle that bomb.
I'm
sure it's something people are superheroes.
X-Cons turn into bomb squad.
Or video games. Yeah, it's for video games, too.
Might even be able to eliminate the need for scopes. If it can tell you, if it can, not scopes, but range finders, it can tell you how far away something is.
That's what I was thinking
from
about.
You.
Golf has range finders. Each course has its own GPS. Like, if you could buy one of those GPSs, each course is uploaded to that, so you can see, and it'll tell you how far the green is or where the flag is.
Right. You know, and if it was able to pick up data, like let's say you're on the golf course, and it knows based on the weather that it's blowing, the wind's blowing 5 miles to the right, and you're reaching for a 6-iron, and it's like, well, you know, with these temperatures, with these conditions, you're probably better off going with a 7-iron instead. And, you know, it's like
think about a fish finder radar.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that by looking at my finger.
Help you find fish.
You're also targeting you.
And I think that this is a good time to take a word from our sponsors.
All right.
Savage Smokes is a new site on the scene dedicated to the trending electronic cigarette industry. If you are looking into e-cigs as an alternative to tobacco and have been disappointed by the ones you picked up at the gas station, or you've kept your money in your pocket because you didn't know which one to buy, head to SavageSmokes.com for honest and up-to-date electronic cigarette reviews on most e-cigs you see on the shelves.
You've been listening to The Dash Radio Show with hosts Don Wright DeBrantz and Peter Mingles.
Thanks for tuning in. To follow our every move, here's what to do. First, click follow at the top of our show. Then, hop on over and subscribe to our blog at www.the-radioshow.com. Text DASH to 37404 for our upcoming mobile experience. And like us on facebook.com/the-radio. And now, back to the show.
And we are back. And welcome back to the Dash Back Talk. We decided a little while ago that we were just going to bring everybody to the office with us, and we're hoping you're enjoying the experience because we want to hang out with you guys. And, you know, Peter brought up a really good point today, and he said, you know, as home-based entrepreneurs, we all work at home. We all stay home. We tend to be homebodies. We don't like to go out much. When we do, it's to a Denny's and to a Waffle House to go show somebody our napkin presentation, or to go ahead and do a little networking, and then we're right back to home. And people who love home-based business and entrepreneurism at that level, we tend not to get out too much, but you know, we have really good relationships with people through telephones, and we do an awful lot of work. We just like to do it in our pajamas. And so, you know, it's a really nice life option to be able to choose to, like, roll over when the alarm clock goes off or to actually get out of bed. And there are some days you thank God that meeting wasn't with a webcam and you've done, you know, millions of dollars worth of business right from your, you know, right from your house, right from your couch in your sweats or whatever. But, you know, it's really good to be able to get to know each other. So we decided we wanted to do something a little different with this particular show once a week. And if you guys like it, please make sure you chime in. Give us some topics. Make sure that you tell us if there's something that you want us to go ahead and bring up with BackTalk. You know, especially in the home-based business arena, if you guys are with certain companies, we are not a bash board. We do not ever bash anything entrepreneurial. We're not your investigative reporters who are going to go ahead and go out there and try to bust a company or to go ahead and even grill a company. We're just here talking about entrepreneurism and tools that will help the industry and we're bringing people on who are experts that are far than the Reagan model, you know, surrounding ourselves with people far greater than ourselves, with far more expertise than ourselves, who can talk about all that kind of stuff. We're just a bunch of home-based entrepreneurs who just love what we do, and we wanted to share it with you. So what's our next topic up for grabs?
Well, something that's come up, and I'll give a preface to this article, last month, it became illegal to unlock cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a petition that went around, and as of yesterday, it received 100,000 signatures on whitehouse.gov, which means that the White House gets to address the issue. I think that, you know, why does it matter? You don't get the freedom with a locked phone. You lose your freedoms, essentially, and you're stuck with that service provider. People that do international business, if with an unlocked phone, they can literally bounce from local carrier to local carrier based on the country that they are, use their network, and not get hit with tons and tons of international roaming fees. What they charge you is absolutely obscene.
Yeah.
And with an unlocked phone, you can literally be in any country and have cell phone service. And, you know, it also eliminated early termination fees. You could just devalue your line all the way down to the base model, finish paying off your, you know, however many months you have on that plan, and use your unlocked phone on whatever carrier that you want.
This thing really irritates me. The fact that anybody's tried to ban, like, unlocking a phone, just, like, back to my and Alex's trip, you know, we came back in the country, and I bought an iPhone for a guy in Nepal. He asked me, he couldn't get an eBay account because he couldn't get a PayPal account because he couldn't get a bank account because he's in Nepali and they just have different stuff there. So he gave me money, asked me to buy him an iPhone. I buy him the iPhone, but it has it's a crack digitizer, and that's like 6 months worth of his pay. So he doesn't want to do it. So I ended up with a broken iPhone when I got back in the country. So I go ahead and I put my iPhone back together, and I call AT&T, and I've been living off the grid for 2 years. You know, I'm like bouncing with Alex from country to country, living in a backpack. We didn't do the 5-star tour; we did the hostel tour, and it was really cool, and it was a great experience. And we walked a lot of this planet, and we bicycled, and we did things that, as a home-based entrepreneur, we got to see a whole lot of this planet outside the little white window. But what was amazing was coming back in, and in order to go ahead and get a telephone, they wanted 5 of my friends and family's contact information, and they wanted all this Big Brother stuff just to be able to get an AT&T account. And I said, forget it. I wanted a SIM card, because I had just been in like 10 countries in 12 months or whatever. So I said, you know, every country we land in, we get a SIM card, we put the SIM card in. That's what people need to be able to do. Why in America do you own the airspace that I'm not allowed to go ahead and use a telephone and then change which telephone I use when my minutes run out? It doesn't make any sense to me. So this is just so invasive to me. I think this is a horribly invasive thing. I think it takes away people's right to choose. And why? It's like standing up for monopoly.
Here's the thing. You say it takes away from people who have the right to choose. They had a right to choose whether they wanted to pick that server, that carrier, or this carrier.
Right, but why do they have to do a contract? Why can't they just have a SIM and buy minutes and then do another SIM and buy minutes?
We can. It's not a
profitable.
Yeah, but no. Now they're going to go ahead and hammer people with fees for breaking contracts. But all they wanted to do was switch SIMs.
And you end on resale. Your phone is significantly devalued if it's locked to one carrier. You know, we all pay full price when we buy our phones, and then when we go to sell our phones, we can only sell it for what's fair based on what everybody else is selling the carrier. If your phone's on lock, there's a much higher demand for that phone because it can be used on any service provider. It's not limited to just AT&T. It's not limited to just Verizon.
Right, so why do I have to buy six phones because I'm going to go to six countries on business?
Right.
Like, why would I have to do that? That doesn't make any sense.
No,
if you have a world phone, does that make any difference on them?
But you still pay a ridiculous monthly fee for that phone.
Right.
It's not even reasonable unless you work for an organization.
And for a minute. Yeah, I mean, it's like if you're working for a massive Fortune 500 company and they're paying your phone bill, okay.
Yeah.
But just as an entrepreneur who's like going to go to China for some manufacturing, but then you got to stop in Thailand for some materials you buy in Bangkok, and then you're going to go and, you know, you're hopping over to Bali for some of your silver, and then you're coming back to America, and you're going to do the festival season, let's just say, you just got destroyed on your telephone. You got destroyed, you know? It's not fair. And we can all use Skype, you know? Thank God for Skype, you know? And on the seventh day or eighth day, God, you've invented Skype. But, you know?
You're limited to Wi-Fi networks.
Connection.
Yeah,
yeah, and in a lot of those countries, you're not getting an internet connection.
Right.
Unless you go to an internet cafe. I mean, there's tons of small business owners that go to China, go to Asia to pick up supplies, pick up new products. I mean, it's what a lot of small businesses, I mean, their manufacturing is done overseas, and they need to go back once, twice, three times a year to get more product, and that requires them to have, you know, you need to have an unlocked phone.
And I just heard all of the, you know, true blue Americans going, but you're not giving Americans jobs. But, guys, when it comes down to it, you know, it's, like, so expensive. So expensive to go ahead and manufacture in America that this is a really difficult thing for a lot of American entrepreneurs. It's like, I want to hire Americans, but I can't afford to hire Americans and actually get my business off the ground. You know, like if I can get my products created reasonably, it's different, you know, but everything's been inflated so many times. Our country is really struggling, you know. We are not creating anything anymore. You know, Americans aren't creating. We're going everywhere else for everything that's being created. You know?
That's why I actually really love a website called Kickstarter.com because I kind of feel like it's fueled almost it's like part Renaissance, part Industrial Revolution. And anybody has the ability to put up an idea in a product, and assuming that everybody likes it, you are in business. You are literally getting the money that you need to start your business. And it's like, I'm sure that there's many people that wish that they had a platform like Kickstarter where they had the opportunity to raise $250,000 or $1 million for their project to get it off the ground. And then on top of that, you've also built a list. When this is all said and done, these people are going to get a part of your project when it's all made. And that's the part of the Kickstarter, is that if you back the project, there's a reward for at the level that you back. Generally, if you back it like $5, you'll get your name put up somewhere, or you'll get like a sticker.
Sure.
Yeah. Death Star on Kickstarter right now.
Really?
Trying to fund a Death Star creation.
That's it.
It's
probably the people that started the petition on WhiteHouse.gov to invest money in building a Death Star. And the White House responded back in a very, like, sarcastic way, playing with the Star Wars theme. And so they answered back with another petition that's on WhiteHouse.gov for the Death Star. And I guess now...
Now they're just going to
Kickstarter.
Yeah,
Kickstarter.
I mean,
In order for the White House to address a petition on WhiteHouse.gov, you have to have something over 25,000 signatures.
It was 25, but they raised it to 100.
They raised it to 100,000 signatures. So if you have over 100,000 people that believe that the Death Star should be created, you could probably get away with launching a Kickstarter project.
Good Lord. What are we
going to
do with the Death Star?
Darth Vader did.
Going to rule the world.
Oh, the universe.
disagree with this. I would not kickstart this product.
But wait, if you back it, do you get to be one of the guys
that are
working
on this? I get a lightsaber in my favorite color.
As long as it's red.
Where the goo just
transforms. Yeah,
oh my god.
It's
extra money. Darth Vader will
evaporated.
It would be interesting to see what the perks are for backing that project on Kickstarter.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. They're asking for $20
million. $20
million.
Well, that's just one of the milestones. Then you get automatic doors with that one, I think. And then the laser gets put on
there's
it after 500.
Yeah, there's a $1 level and a $10 level.
What do you get?
The first one is our thanks and the knowledge that we're one step towards a safer planet. And then the second one is as above, plus your name etched onto underneath of one of the MSC 6 series repair droids used on the finished station. So you get your name etched on a droid.
Etched on a droid. There you go.
I like that.
There you go. R2-D2 Andy style.
Right.
$10, that's worth it.
My dad has one in space. Knowing that your world's safe.
And so Kickstarter's neat for things like this, and it's also not just limited to technology. You have tons of musicians that are kickstarting their own albums. You have people that are launching independent movies that are getting the funds to launch their movie through Kickstarter.
Video games.
Consoles.
Oh yeah. Kickstarter.
You also have arts, new shirts, like the shirt that like they came out with a dress shirt recently.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the perfect dress shirt. It's wrinkle free. It's athletic material. It stretches with you. You know, and all that kind of doesn't need to be ironed.
You know, I got to bring this up because working with so many guys, I never realized before how little the men's fashion market was catered to in most stores, and then Alex pointed it out to me, and then I've been noticing this a lot, and just recently, you know, because it's like 1/8 or 1/10 or 1/15 of a store, you know, you go into the mall, and there's a tiny little corner for guys,
yeah,
and then they're reaching
out.
Yeah, all over the world it's like this, unless it's a men's store, that's it,
yeah.
It's all you get, but places like jackthreads.com has come out, and, you know, then
Society.com. You get a T-shirt for $16 a month. You get a T-shirt every month.
Wow.
And it's argued that it's the world's greatest T-shirt. There's the Dollar Shave Club, so you can get your razors on auto ship, starting from $1 to $10 based on the quality of the razor. There's 5/4 Club, which you fill out your profile, and based on the colors that you like and the style of clothes that you wear, they send you 2 to 3 items a month for $60 a month.
All right, so we're going to put together dashdudes.com. You guys are going to go ahead and give everybody this stuff, okay? So we're going to make sure we get a page out. I know that we are close. We're about 2 minutes. There was one thing that I wanted to go ahead and give as my entrepreneur's tool of the day, just for my back talk on this. When I got back in the country, I got this iPhone. I want everybody to know that if you're a networker and you have to have like 4 and 5 people on 3-way calls all the time, the number one thing you could do for your business is an iPhone, okay? I have revolutionized my networking with an iPhone. I can be on the phone with Alex and have Aaron call, and all of a sudden I can merge that call. And then somebody else might call, John will call, and I can merge that call. If Aaron and Alex and Dawn and John and Alex, I think I said that twice, all had iPhones, we could have 15, 20 people on a free call line, all calling in, calling each other. It's a really brilliant technology if you're a networker. And, you know, I just have to say that for Apple, you know, that broken iPhone that I bought for that guy in Nepal ended up revolutionizing my networking. And now I am completely Apple converted. And all of my contacts, all of my computers, my devices all talk to each other. It has really helped my business in every possible way. So thanks to Apple. I know you guys are getting some flack right now, and you're doing a little obsoleting of your technology, a little on the early side for everyone's taste. But I still love you. Dawn loves you. All right. And I think that's it.
Thanks for coming to the show.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
Thanks for listening to the show. At The Dash, we know that your time is precious, and your choosing to spend it with us means a lot.
To get reminders for our live shows that happen every Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, click follow on the top of any show.
Also, subscribe to our blog for articles, inspirations, and great products and services for your ever-growing business at the-radio.com.
For upcoming mobile experience, text DASH to 37404, and don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/the-radio.
Again, thanks for spending some of your Dash with us. We look forward to talking with you again soon.
All right, we're done. Now go shower.